Good to have you with us this day. If you're watching online, delighted that you're able to be with us there as well. There are several important words in the Bible, and most of those words are very familiar to us. And I want us to look today and possibly for the next 2 weeks at one of the most important words that we have in the Bible to understand it. It's a very simple word, and it's also a very important and deep word for us to understand and understand the significance of it. And that word is faith. And I want us to this morning to define it, to let the Bible tell us exactly what this word means, what it's all about. And in order to do that, we're going to be looking at two passages of Scripture, and we'll read those in detail. One of them will be Hebrews 11, but it will not be our first one. It will be the second one that we go to. But let's start by defining faith. And do you know that God not only defines faith for us by telling us what it means in the Bible and defining it for us? He gives us an event in life that describes it. He gives us an event in life that helps us to see exactly what's involved in it and how important it is. And that event that God has given to humanity that helps us to come to see and understand faith is marriage. I want you to think about this verse. This is not one of our key verses. But in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betrothed you, engaged you, married you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin." What's the key of marriage? Trust. Belief. Belief in the promises that we made to one another. Forsaking all others, I will cleave to you. We will love one another until death parts us and death separates us. And all that holds us together and brings us together are those promises. And the depth of those promises depends upon us and our intent in keeping them. And so God in marriage begins all creation by giving us a physical definition and understanding of this thing called faith. Faith is a covenant. Faith is a contract. Like the covenant of marriage and like the contract of marriage. When we enter into Christ, we enter into a covenant with Him. We've made promises. We've said that we will do things. We declare our intent to be faithful to Him, to love Him, to serve Him, because we are coming into Him to belong to Him. He's made promises to us. He's made a covenant with us. And all of this covenant promise ties into the idea of marriage and helps us to understand faith. To have faith is more than just saying we believe something. It is a command involving our faithfulness and our trust. It is an event or a command involving God's faithfulness and God's trustworthiness. And we know we can trust Him. And we know we can believe Him. The problem with faithfulness and trustworthiness comes on our end. And we have made a commitment with God, entering into this relationship with Him, being baptized into Him, that we will strive to be what He wants us to be faithful, to be trustworthy in regard to this relationship that we have with him. So let's define this word faith. And let's look at what the Bible tells us. If we were to look at the definition given to us in the Greek language of the Greek word pistis, which is faith, if we would find that that word involves several different things. The key ones are faith, trust, and commitment. All three of those are involved in the idea of pistis and in the broader definition of the understanding of what it means. To define it a little more, using more specific words, faith means faithfulness. It's the same Greek word, it's just a different form of it, describing that for an individual to have faith, he must be an individual who is exemplifying faithfulness and reliability or loyalty or commitment. The same things we would expect in a marriage are the same things that are expected of us when we have faith in Christ. And we show our faithfulness, our reliability, our loyalty, and our commitment to him by our faithfulness, by our faith. That which evokes confidence, a solemn promise, an oath, a pledge, a proof, that's what faith is. It is what causes others, God in relationship to us, and us in relationship to God, to see that he is trustworthy, and for us to prove ourselves as also being trustworthy, giving confidence in God toward us having confidence in God, and also God having confidence in us. And every time I think about God's confidence in a human being, my mind always goes back to the first two chapters of the book of Job, where God will say with regard to Job, "Have you seen Job? I don't have anybody like him. There is no one in all humanity like him." And God seems to be just exuding the confidence that he has in Job. Confidence so great. Yes, devil, you can do whatever you wish to do to him, except you can't kill him. And I will show you why I have that confidence in him. Confidence, solemn promise, oath, pledge, proof. Sometimes individuals are baptized into Christ for a lot of different reasons. But when we are baptized into Christ, we are, as one author describes it, entering into our marriage. And that baptism into Christ is our marriage ceremony. And in that marriage ceremony, we have intent. We have promise that we intend to keep. It doesn't take us long to realize that we fail and we fall short of it. But we have promise. We intend to keep it. We're making an oath. We're making a pledge. And rather than giving up on ourselves, we need to keep coming back to the promise, the oath, and the pledge, and growing every day in the understanding of what it meant for us when we came into Jesus Christ and what it means for us in living for him. We trust, and we build his trust in us, and we trust him in everything that we do. The first verse, the first passage. It'll be more than one verse. Open to Romans chapter 10. And I want you to start reading with me in verse 5. These verses that we're going to look at in Romans 10, and then we'll turn to to Hebrews chapter 11, will define for us faith. And I want us to look very carefully at these verses to see exactly what's being talked about. It starts, the reading does, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 5, and takes us back to Moses and takes us back to the law. And there's a reason for that. We'll start in verse 5, and the Bible, Paul writes this. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. How can I save myself? What are the list of commands that I must do in order to be saved? Moses writes this with regard to righteousness that comes by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But nobody did them. Nobody could. Even the Apostle Peter says, why are you trying to bind on Gentiles the very thing we couldn't live by? It didn't benefit us. What benefit will it give to them? No one can save himself. So in contrast to that, then Paul says, but the righteousness that is by faith, the righteousness that comes to us because we trust, because we believe, because we have faith. Well, now, what does that mean to have faith? Well, he'll get to that in a minute, but let's look at this. This righteousness, whatever it means, whatever it is, that doesn't come to us because of our obedience, but it comes to us because of our faith, our trust in him. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Who's the Christ? He's the King. Who's the Christ? He's the Savior. Who's the Christ? He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. This faith does not say, who will go get Christ for us? Who's good enough to go get Christ for us and bring him down to here? Why isn't that something being said? Because he's already come. And it wasn't because anybody went and got him. He came out of his love for us. And he came out of his love for God. And he came when we weren't asking for him. And he came when we didn't even know anything about him. And for the most part, we didn't care. Goes further. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ back from the dead. Nobody can. Nobody could, no human being. But nobody has to, because he's already risen. He's already come back. That is to bring Christ up from the dead. That's not asking, who will do this for us? Is not what the righteousness that comes by faith is asking for. Instead, it says this, the word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is in your heart. It's already in your mind. It's already there. You already know and trust the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the message proclaimed by the apostles. If you declare with your mouth, that means to profess it. And it's not just with the mouth we profess it. It is also by our actions. There are two things that are going to be involved in faith. One is described here by the word declare, profess. The other one he's about to get to. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's faith. So faith now involves two things, believing and professing. believing, and declaring. And he's going to get to that word again, and he says this in verse 10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you, the New International Version says, profess. If you have any other translation, it'll give you the Greek word. And the Greek word is confess. There are two things involved in faith. One is a confession or profession. And the word confess comes from the Greek word that's a compound word. It's two words that go together. Homo logeo. Homo means the same. Logeo means to speak. And so confess means to speak the same thing. So what am I speaking? The same thing God says. What am I professing? The same thing God says. So he goes further. For with your heart you believe and are justified. One aspect of belief, I must trust him, believe him. And it is with my mouth, and we could also add my actions. It is with my mouth, my actions, that I confess my faith, and I'm saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him, anyone who has faith, anyone who believes in Jesus, in God, will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We trust him. We call on him. We profess him. Then he explains this with regard to calling. How then can they call on the one they haven't believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? How can they believe in him if they're not listening to him? How can they believe in him if they haven't heard about him and they're not listening to what he says? And how can they hear without someone proclaiming to them or preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who's believed our message? Consequently, here we go. Faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. What is faith? Believing what God says. Well, where is what God says? The message about Jesus Christ given to us in the New Testament. You can't have faith unless you're listening to what God has said through Jesus Christ. And if you're not listening to God through what he said through Jesus Christ, you don't have faith. And having that faith in what God has said through Jesus Christ means two things for me. It means I believe it, and it means I profess it. In the words I speak and the actions I live by, and I say the same thing in my actions, in my words, and in my belief system that God himself said through Jesus. That is faith. Believing and professing, Paul will talk about the importance of this believing and professing when he describes in the first part of the book of Romans and the last part, the obedience of faith. It's not the obedience of law keeping. It's not the obedience that is perfection and always doing what's right. It is the obedience of faith. Believing him and trusting him. Now, let's go to the second part of this definition, which helps us a little bit with this first part. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Read carefully with me. We're going to read down the two verses that are going to be key, or the first one and the last one we'll be reading. But I want you to start chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is confidence, assurance. Faith is the confidence and assurance in what we hope for. And it's the assurance or the confidence in the things we don't see. I don't see it. So what is the confidence and the assurance coming from? God's promise. I read what God says. I know what God says. I trust God to be telling me the truth. Therefore, I have assurance and confidence. Do you have assurance that you are saved? If you do, it's because of the promises of God, and you know that you're listening to them. But how can I have assurance when I see that there's sin still in me? It's because whenever I do something wrong, I'm ashamed of what I've done. I feel guilt for it. I want to put it away. Some things I find very hard to put away. But I have a promise from God. I have a promise from Jesus Christ. If we sin and we acknowledge our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So my salvation and my assurance is not based on my goodness. It's based on my faith. It's not about me reaching a certain level of goodness. It's about me knowing what He says and believing it and trusting it. And me believing what He says and trusting it will become the strongest motive I can possibly have to put to death the things that I'm having a hard time putting to death. And to keep working at trying to put them to death and trying to do away with them. How do you know you have the Holy Spirit? By faith. How do you know you're a child of God? By faith. I listen to what God says and I believe what He says. How do you know you're going to heaven? By faith. Every single thing is by faith. Every single thing we put our trust in is because it's what God said. God said so. And I believe what God says. Therefore, I have faith. Look a little further. He goes on, this faith is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. How do you know God built the world? Because God said so. And nobody can do it. No committee of human beings and all humanity put together working on it ever since we've been created could not do it and cannot even control it. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. Why? Because he listened to what God said and did what God said in the way God said to do it. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. You're a righteous man. Why? Because you listened to what I said. You trusted me to be right. And you did what I said to do. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. The book of Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, tells us that Enoch did not see death because he walked with God. That implies he walked faithfully with God. And the verse will tell us, the next part of verse 5, for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. How did he do that? Faith. He listened to God and he walked with God. And now this. And without faith, without trusting him, without listening to him, without believing him, without confessing him, professing him with my words and my actions, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. One part of faith. Listen to what he says and believe he's right. And trust him to be right. But then the second part of faith. He must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Who want to know what he says? And strive to do and to be what he says. That's faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And the word of God we hear, we profess. In our words and in our actions. And that is faith. And we in this trust of God, imperfect as we are forgiven. From all of our imperfections. Because we listen to him. We believe him. We trust him. And we're going to strive to be loyal to him. And what he says. That is faith. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks. We're going to see some things that might help us. Allow this to impact our lives in a lot of different areas. There may be some here this morning who know what God says, who know what Jesus says, who believe in him and are ready to put Christ on in baptism. There may be some who need to come home to Christ. If you'd like to speak to one of our elders, they'll be in the conference room after we're dismissed from this assembly. You can have prayer with them or speak with them. Or if you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus this morning, we offer it to you as together we stand and as we sing.